to the Accidental Safety Pro podcast. I'm Jill James, the podcast host, and I am today at the National Safety Council Congress and Expo here live on the expo floor. And with me today, my next podcast guest is Justin in the oil and gas industry here in Texas, specifically with Wildcat Tools. Justin, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is so fun. So oil and gas industry, it's probably not where you started in safety, I'm guessing.
It is, actually.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
So would love to hear your story of how you accidentally came into this practice.
Sure.
What does it look like for you, and how long has it been?
I've been in the profession around 20 years, a little over 20 years. Started in Midland, Texas. I don't know if anybody knows where that is that listens, but far west Texas, it's oil and gas country. So everyone out there is in oil and gas. My dad owned a service business that did provide service work for oil and gas companies. And growing up, watched that my whole life and then went to work for him. And my job, several jobs, but 20 years ago, safety was, here's a video and watch that and take this test and, don't put your hand there kind of a thing.
Yeah, don't touch.
And
and
so really for me, it was just doing that and the record keeping aspects of it for his company, as well as running a team that would do like instrumentation diagrams and those types of things. So it was safety and also. And then, from there, it just kind of kept going. I had a friend of mine that started a safety and training business and hired me to go get work and also train, and I kind of deviated away from the go get work side of it more to learning and training and
about safety.
Then into where we are now, building complete programs and those kinds of things.
When you're working with your dad's company way back, so you literally grew up in the oil and gas industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So school and education, what happened with that? Which way did that take you?
So interestingly enough, I went to, graduated high school, went to Texas Tech. I was there for a period of time, and then my dad's company was doing great things, and he'd ask if I could come back and help him with a few things, and the understanding was I would always go back, and then I never went back.
Sure.
But was really fortunate in that I had a lot of people that would, supplement that lack of college degree with, here is specific training relevant for what you're working in, or and I was always one to seek out those types of opportunities also, so I was able to overcome any perceived deficiency as a result of not having a degree.
Yeah. Not an uncommon situation with safety professionals. Yeah. I mean, your experience is very similar to many. Some often I'm asked, like, profile a safety person for me. Like, what do they have in common? Where did they go to school? What's their education? There isn't.
Right.
There really isn't a single profile. We all came into it by some sort of accident. We learned the craft in various ways from various people, which is really kind of the beauty of this practice.
I always say we learn the moves.
Yeah, exactly.
Learn what to do, what not to do, and all that's trial and error mostly.
Yeah. So what's a normal day look like for you now in this industry?
Well, in this industry now, a normal day for me is, when I started, it was, hey, today I have 30 fire extinguishers I've got to fill, and they're in the most remote locations you can imagine, and good luck finding them. To what I'm doing today is, hey, where are we going in 2019 and 2020 and beyond as a company? And then from a corporate perspective, where do we look to expand? We're looking international, we're looking offshore as well.
Yeah.
And doing all of those things and then preparing our culture first, and then the programs to support that culture second.
Yeah.
Is how I generally tackle each day.
And so how are you tackling culture? I mean, that's kind of in the mind's eye of all safety professionals right now, and everybody's coming at it at different ways. What's working for you?
So I was very, very fortunate at Wildcat, because when the company grew, it grew by bringing together most of our management structure from major oil companies.
Okay.
So they brought a certain culture with them that they had always done a certain way. So let's take observation cards, for example. If I say, okay, we're going to do observations, they say, oh, finally. And it just kind of starts
happening.
Oh, they
already knew. Yeah.
They know what to do, why it's important.
Yeah.
They've seen it be beneficial where they were before. So it's not so much of an uphill battle. And because of that, then I don't really have to push on the frontline guys as much mm-hmm. because their management structure mm-hmm. supports it already.
Yeah, you don't have to do all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's not always been the case. Mm-hmm. And it's, I always tell people it's a sales job. You're really essentially a salesman.
I say that very often.
You're not selling a product. Uh-huh. You're selling a concept or an idea.
Mm-hmm. And a way to be.
And I've got mm-hmm. to convince a mechanic that's probably been doing it that way, his perception is longer than I've been alive, mm-hmm. and tell him that, hey, I've got a better way to do that thing I've never done before, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I need you to listen to me about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And so that's 100% sales.
It is 100% sales, and it's also building street cred mm-hmm. with the people that you're working with.
Right.
I often ask people, like, what's sort of the craziest thing you've done to build street cred that we got home at night and went, I never thought I would.
Man.
Never thought I'd do that.
Unlimited to one?
No,
answer?
No, absolutely yeah. not.
the thing that jumps to mind the most is probably climbing to the top of a derrick, 100 plus feet in the air mm-hmm. with, all the proper fall protection
yes.
and stuff on. But, getting comfortable, trying to look comfortable doing that when you're just not that comfortable
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah,
but you know
it's not your
that
everyday thing.
In order to drive that point home,
yeah.
you have to show them you're willing to do it.
Yep.
And that you trust the equipment that
yes.
you're asking them to trust.
Uh-huh.
And
using the methods that
correct.
You might get a pushback on that it's a cumbrance.
That's
yeah.
right. And uh-huh. showing them that, hey, you can use this.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And at the same time going, man, I really hope this stuff works.
I know.
I hope this is good.
Heights have always kind of gotten me.
Yeah, heights or something. Heights or something.
I can do it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, it's like heights I've gotten more comfortable with, obviously, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. Electricity's that way for me. Like, uh-huh. I get it uh-huh. enough that I don't want to mess with uh-huh. it.
I was in a sugar beet processing plant a week ago, multiple stories with the expanded metal flooring uh-huh. where you can see all the way down. I trained myself many years ago to have a focal point be, some sort of horizon line, so I'm not looking ahead of, where I'm walking.
Sure.
I'm looking far enough ahead not to trip on anything, but I kind of want to eliminate that whole falling thing.
Yeah, the great floors, those are...
Yeah.
They'll mess with you.
Yeah.
They'll mess with
yeah,
your head.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big climb. I bet that felt like a great workout by the time you got
to the
top.
A good workout. I've done it climbing it and also being hoisted up by a mechanical line. So
wow.
a couple different things.
Wow.
But yeah.
Wow. Have you ever ridden a man lift?
Yeah, for sure.
Me too.
Driven man lifts.
The endless belt man lift that you kind of have to jump on and it takes
oh,
you past.
Oh, that's a different
thing.
So what you're calling a man lift is different than what we
what
call
you call
a man
lift.
Yeah.
You're talking about a mechanical device.
Yeah, I'm talking like a scissor lift or
yes,
something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes. I was thinking about...
No, I've not ever ridden one of those.
I was thinking about heights and what you do for street cred. I had to, when I was with OSHA, ride one of these things called an endless belt man lift to the top of a grain elevator. Highest
right.
structure in the community.
Right.
And I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, I know there's a regulation on it. There's not much... safety stuff on it, and I'm like, I got to get to the roof to respond to the accident I was investigating.
Right.
And the team that was with me, I'm like, I'm sending a couple people up first to make sure this thing
see if they make it.
See if they make it, and then instructed them to pull me off of it physically because you have to step backwards
sure.
over this chute. And so they said you're coming through. I'm like, pull me off, and they pulled me off. And I'm like, da-da-da-da, trying to collect yourself as a professional to do
sure.
your job and not lose your credibility
and
with
act
your
like
audience.
You aren't scared of that at all.
Exactly.
Right.
I got home and broke out in hives.
Oh,
Head to toe for 6 weeks, I had hives. I thought it was
stress-related
because I was
hives.
So scared.
Yeah.
My dermatologist said I was allergic to grain dust, but I'll still say it was because I was scared. But
could have been
they
both.
Didn't see me sweat.
Oh, man.
So the crazy things we do in our industry.
Yeah, well, you have to.
Yeah,
especially going back to the culture piece. If you don't recognize that,
yeah.
you're going to really struggle to develop any type of rapport with the
yeah.
people that you're trying to influence.
Right,
and you won't be able to be successful.
Yeah. yeah. How do you work as a safety professional? Like you had mentioned, some people that have a good idea. Like how would when they bring ideas to you, or how do you get them to bring ideas to you? So it's not because the people that work closest to things often have the best solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my constant message to anyone I ever talk to, I'll end most conversations with, let me know how I can help.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, I just am constantly on message about I'm an internal consultant for you. I'm an internal consultant for you. I work as a consultant for you.
Yeah.
These tools are for you.
Yeah.
We can do safety a couple different ways. I can hire coordinators and put them all over the country if you want.
Yeah.
That won't make us any safer, and you guys won't own the process.
Right.
Or I can build tools.
Yeah.
And so that's, I just stay on message with that. That this is for you. I'm building these for you.
Yeah.
If they work, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
What's working and you know, magnify that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they aren't working, let's talk about what's not working and make those changes. So it's just, for me, it's just staying on message and
being an internal
guys,
advocate. Is that
absolutely.
What you said? That's the framing?
Internal consultant.
Internal consultant.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Internal consultant. People can call
But you got to stay on message, though.
Yeah, right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you find to be kind of the biggest challenge for our practice right now?
I think the... So going back to something I said earlier where you have the beginning, my beginning career in safety was here's a video and here's a test.
Yep.
And then make sure your records are in order so that if you get reviewed by OSHA or, you know, whomever, you're in order.
Yeah.
To then, you know, a real focus on behavioral things and you know, why is behavior a certain way?
Mm-hmm.
And then now a shift I've noticed more into, you know, a reduction in HSE staff in lieu of management owning it, which is, I think, absolutely the direction you should go. I don't have a large safety staff by design because I always say if you have a safety guy is going to safety guy. You're going to let him do safety meetings. You're going to let him do facility inspections. You're going to let him do all those things.
Rather than teaching people to...
rather than either you do them, which...
Yeah.
If I'm a manager and I've got to do a safety inspection on my facility, and the first one I find 100 things, the next time I'm not going to want to find 100 things.
Exactly, right? Because it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so it's shifting more into that. And I think that is awesome.
Yeah.
But I think to answer your question about the challenge is I came up in safety like I would suspect you did. Like I said, today I have 30 fire extinguishers to fill. And then you learn that, and then you learn some regulation, and then you learn how to teach, and then you learn how to, you know, on and on and on.
Yeah.
And then 20 years down the road, you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I've worked for some major companies.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked for some startup-sized companies.
Mm-hmm.
I understand somewhere in between is where we need to fall.
Yeah.
I think in the future, given the aspect that you're phasing out that coordinator-type role, or at least in my estimation, you're going to lose some of that kind of on-the-job type training where people spend a good amount of time seeing a bunch of different, being exposed to a bunch of different things.
Right.
And they're going to end up, you're going to end up, one of two things. You're going to get the guy that got hurt gets to be safety guy now, or you're going to get the fresh-faced kid straight out of college that has never seen anything at all in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And
they need to.
And they need to.
Yeah.
They need to.
Yeah.
I mean.
And that's where mentoring, I think, comes along.
Right.
With you and I, who've been at this for a while, to try to bring some of those new leaders up by mentoring. And I never really thought of myself as a mentor until maybe a couple of years ago, because we've been at this a while now.
Yes.
And I think, I have to be, like, when people are asking me for help, I need to really pay attention to that.
And pay attention to your answer.
Too. Like, am I qualified to do this? How can I? Yeah. Anyway, but it's been fun to mentor. But I also think it's a responsibility of our practice right now is to mentor the next generation.
I don't disagree. I think that any way we can get that message out, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you've been at this for, you said 20 about 20 years, something.
Years, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Are there accomplishments that you're particularly proud of? Something that kind of sticks in your head as a win, a good day?
Several. I was able to build, you know, a high angle rescue program for derrick workers at a company I worked for.
Okay.
And trained over 800 employees. And how do you get a guy that's fallen and now he's suspended below a certain working surface?
Yeah.
I was able to, same company, build a well control program. So how do you control a well that's out of control?
Mm-hmm.
That ended up getting American Petroleum Institute accredited, which was a lot of fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's huge.
Those are all great, and they're things that you can really kind of hang your hat on and say, man, that was fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've been overseeing the voluntary protection program efforts for multiple facilities that all receive star status. So
again, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's
stuff's
fabulous.
All that stuff's great. And then at the end of the day, that's as rewarding as when you get Dwight the welder to put a guard on his grinder. I mean, it's how do you
Yes.
How do you quantify one against the other? I don't think you can.
Yeah, you don't. You know, what gets you out of bed to keep at this?
I just really enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that makes me a sadist or I don't know what that makes me, but I do enjoy just coming to work and knowing that what we do ultimately you're doing for almost a higher purpose. And even though sometimes that gets lost on me, I get bogged down a lot of times in the I can't believe that guy did that.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a concept.
Yes.
But at the end of the day,
you get yourself out of that pretty quickly.
You have to.
Yeah.
Or it'll just you'll have to find something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's just knowing that what you're doing is really making a difference in someone's life.
Yeah. I sometimes think about it as really impacting the heart and soul of working America. You know, we're all laying our hands on this arc and we're changing it one little bit at a time.
Right.
Yeah. So what brought you to the conference?
I live here in Houston, and when I saw the conference was here, I thought it'd be a great opportunity to come out, see some of the newer technologies that are out there, take in some sessions, which I have done, which they've been great.
Mm-hmm.
And but more than anything, you know, Wildcat, the company I work for, we're in growth mode. So I know that, you know, we're a 200-person company now, and we're looking to add locations and people. So.
Yeah.
For me, when I look at that, I'm like, okay, we need processes in place that are scalable.
Yep.
And so to come to speak to vendors such as yourself, that, you know, how do we look at training? How do we look at SDS? How do we look at, you know, all of those types of things and grow those things?
Yeah, because you're one human being and you can't do all of that.
Right. So how do we find how do we find partnerships and more importantly the proper partnerships? To then, so you can almost set that on autopilot and focus on
the people.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
And the culture.
Absolutely.
And the things that make the biggest difference so you know how people are going to perform when no one's looking.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And there's some really cool stuff here I've seen that, you know, you're like, wow, that's awesome. And I don't think it's a fit, but it's really cool. Uh-huh. It's interesting, you know.
Yeah, a lot of new stuff, a lot of new technology. Yeah, I love it myself. Thank you so much for taking time to speak with us today.
I'm happy to do it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Fun to hear your story.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who's listening to the Accidental Safety Pro podcast. If you'd like to listen to more of our episodes, you can find us in the podcast player of your choosing. And if you'd like to send us a question or a comment, you can reach out to us at social@vividlearningsystems.com. Until next time, thank you.